And the scripture is, we must seek peace and pursue it. Go after it. You may mention, you may remember, or most likely not, seeing we don't remember most of the messages I speak or anybody speak, isn't that right, youth? You just don't remember. I did a message on strife last year, you remember that? Straight out of Joyce Meyer's book. And this one is the opposite. It's the peace version. Strife, the opposite is peace. And I'm going to do my best just to speak about it. Funny, you remember what I spoke about last week? Anybody got a... just give me one word that would probably say what I spoke about last week. One word. Fear. Yeah, thank you. Wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is the word. That's probably was the heart of the message that I wanted to speak. Who said dumb as a post? Thank you very much. That's what I wanted to get across. If you don't follow Jesus, you're as dumb as a post. Still can't get over I said that. But anyway, God asked me to say that. I opened this book, and I'd already planned that, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to speak this message on peace. I believe it's what the Lord wanted. And I opened the book, and to help me confirm it, in the second paragraph, it said this. And I'll read it. I'll read it to you. Oh, before I read this, where'd he go? Where's Justin? Justin reminded me. He's behind the camera. Thank you, Justin. He reminded me what I called the mackerel. The fish. It was the holy mackerel that sacrificed its life for us. I couldn't help myself. Anyway, back to the message. Okay, let me read this. The first way to find peace is in learning to trust God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We cannot have peace with God, others, and ourselves without His Lordship in our lives. Now here's the bit. The Bible says that Jesus is our wisdom from God. Remember the scripture I put up last week? It says it in 1 Corinthians 1:30. His word teaches us how to live properly. He doesn't just give us wisdom, He is our wisdom. And I was encouraged no end. Through trusting the Prince of Peace and having a personal relationship with Him, we actually have indwelling wisdom from the Lord's presence in us. Isn't that cute? And real. Real. You want some wisdom? You need the Prince of Peace. Alright, away we go. And I've got that written. You might say, pursue peace is to pursue the one who is called peace. You've got to pursue the one who is called peace to have peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I've done all that. Oh, here we go. Wisdom, and I just wanted to say something quickly about wisdom, is not being smart, clever. It's much bigger than that. It's much more than that. You would know, and I would, you know, that there are millions upon millions of situations in our life where there is no exact answer. Do you know that? There is no exact answer. Sort of. No exact answer. Yes, there are hundreds and possibly even thousands of godly principles that we need to follow. But day by day, things come up that you would say, well, there's no really Bible thing that you can do. Like, for example, when we bought Air Capricorn, you know, Air Capricorn, the aviation thing. I thought I'd write it down. We just looked up the Bible to decide whether we were going to buy it or not. We looked up the Bible, and on page 1068, there was the answer. And the Lord would say unto the Peacealite people, Go ye forth and purchase said aeronautical establishment before it flies into someone else's hands. God, I got to laugh. Unbelievable. It's just not in there, is it? No. We had to do something rather than look up the Bible. There's principles that talk about sowing and reap, but there's nothing in there about Air Capricorn, I can assure you. It's just not going to happen. Let me say, peace does not come without obedience. To be a disciple of Jesus, I'm just diversing a little bit, coming back to peace, all right? To be a disciple of Jesus means we need to study his word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, if you wanted to look it up, it would talk about studying to show yourself approved, if my memory serves me correctly. Studying to show yourself approved and correctly analysing the word of God and using it to teach and admonish. Teach and admonish. That's what it says. The word of God is there, so presented so that we can use it to live our lives properly, walking with Jesus. And we need to know it. There are so many principles. So many good ones. Am I up to that page yet? I just don't want to get ahead of myself here. You'll just bear with me, won't you? Yes, I am up to that. There are so many principles, and so many good ones, and if we follow the principles, there's a lot of peace and there's a lot of joy involved in it. For instance, if you follow the sowing and reaping principle, all right? If you sow, you'll reap. And what is it? How's the song go? Give, and it will come back to you. Press down, shaking together, and running on. That's all you're getting. There's that principle. If you want to live by that principle, that will. If you want to give to Lloyd's trip overseas, you're going to sow into that good thing. You're going to reap from it. Are you not? You will. It's a principle. It will come in due time. But there is a principle. If you sow, you reap. There's another principle. I'm just going to give you a few. All right? You ready for a few? Just so you know that I'm not lying. If you preach the gospel, these signs will follow. What are they? You lay hands on the sick. He's not sick. And they shall recover. All sorts of things follow the preaching of the gospel. It is a principle of the word. How about another one? This is simple. Humble people receive grace. It's as simple as that. It's a principle, and it's a great principle, I might add. Carl was talking to me a little bit about it this morning. He was reading Rick Joyner's book about how they wear this big, shiny armour in it. They're showing, you know, they've got all the power of God on them, and yet they put the humility rag over the top of it. You know what I'm saying? It's a picture, Carl was saying, and it is a great picture. So put on that robe of humility, and what comes? Grace. God loves it. He loves humility. You've got it, you're going to receive grace. It's what the word says. The prayer of a righteous man prevaileth much. It's a principle. A righteous man has to be, and then it prevaileth much. I might look this one up. Psalm 1. Do you all know Psalm 1? The guy that doesn't live with it. What is it, Hazel? Here you go.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law shall he meditate day and night.
He shall be like a tree who... lives by streams of water and bears fruit in season and so on and so on. It's a principle, is it not? You live by it and good stuff happens. Good stuff. You get blessed. You find peace. What's another one? The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Wisdom. You fear God, it's just simple. Honour your father and mother. Yeah. And it goes on and on. I probably could have just kept going. It's basically, if you do this, he'll do that. If my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. What is it? I didn't actually even look this up. Turn from their wicked ways. Is that not in there? Seek my face. Then I would hear their prayers and heal their land, or words to that effect. Is that not right? Principles. Lots of them. Lots of them that we need. The word is just full of them, and if we don't know them, we're going to make a bit of a mess of things. Are you hearing me? If you don't know the principles, you're going to make a bit of a mess of things. Okay? Just go like this, just so I can see that you are here with me. It's not about following a bunch of rules either. It's not about that. It's about this. It's about ticker. It's about heart. It's about love, like we've been speaking about all morning. It's not just a bunch of rules. If I follow this, there's got to be a bit of heart in this. Is there not? Yeah, we miss the heart bit, we miss the lot. And it's heart towards our Creator and our Lord, the one we love, the one who's laid down his life for us. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Peace, this is a quote, peace is our inheritance from Jesus. But we have to choose to follow him with heart daily. Principle. Peace is our inheritance from Jesus, but we have to choose to follow him with heart daily. Okay, put up that Colossians 3:15 for me, please. Colossians 3:15. How am I going to do this? All right, rules for... This whole chapter, I think it's the whole chapter, is started in my Bible, or partly down, rules for holy living. So more rules, more principles. This is rules for holy living. All right? That's what you want? You know, there are rules. Rules keep you safe, do they not? Like, if you know the rule of gravity, you are less likely to go flying with John and Stephen. Oh no, did I say that? It wasn't me, I couldn't have said it. Somebody wrote that in my book. No, of course not. If you know the rule, you're not going to jump over a cliff, are you? Because you know the rule, and it keeps you safe. It keeps you safe. Here's the scripture. Let the peace of... I hope it is. Oh, they've given me both. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. That's the bit I want most of all. You know what that means? I read it in the book, so I got a bit more understanding, but I read the scripture first, and I thought, what does that mean? And actually, you can go home and read it in the Amplified version. If you've got an Amplified Bible, it is just schmick. It just explains it so well. And Joycey uses it to full, whatever you want to call it, to the fullness of the Amplified version. She's done a great job of it. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What does that mean? Well, it means this. Let the peace of Christ rule. That rule is like the word umpire. Umpire your heart. You know what an umpire... I think there's only umpires in tennis. Is that right? Cricket, of course. There's a few. Is there referees in touch football? Is that right? AFL, rugby league, all those sorts of things. But umpire... I know about the touch football because I wasn't even playing the other couple of weeks ago and I got penalised on the sideline. Can you believe that? Does that ever happen to you? I gave the team a penalty and I wasn't even playing. I'd taken my daughter down there to watch her. I was being a little vocal. And the ref didn't seem to appreciate my vocals. Oh, you live and learn. Yeah, you do. Okay, this word umpire your heart. It's peace first. Oh, I love this. The word peace. If you can change that to soul harmony, doesn't that sound really, you say groovy, that's what I thought. Sounds marin nearly. That type of soul harmony, peace. Okay, let me read it like this. Let the soul harmony of Christ rule in your hearts. Soul harmony. What's that mean? The rule, umpire your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let peace umpire you. What way am I going to go? In what direction am I going to go? How do you find it? How do you get to it? It's through the peace in your heart, the soul harmony. Are you getting me? I thought this was exciting. The soul harmony. Let God put peace in your heart in the direction that you will go. In the direction that you will go. All right. I'll put you out of your misery. Here it is. From the Amplified. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. If you don't see the brackets, a little bit harder to understand. Do you get the drift? Do you get how what she's trying to tell us, what the Lord is trying to put on our hearts? And verse 16 says about, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing. There's two things here. First one, let the peace of God rule your heart or umpire you, set you in the right direction, cause you to. Am I going this way? And let the word of God, the rules and the principles of God, do the same thing. Put them two together and you've got some direction for life. Have you ever heard things like, I know I shouldn't do this, but... I know I shouldn't buy this, but... I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to do it anyway. That would be having a check in your spirit and completely ignoring it. Not surrendering your will. That is the quickest way to lose your peace. By far the quickest way. You could do 1,000 things before you do that. You could stop, for one, and not do it at all. You could at least wait, if you got some sort of check, and see what's going to happen. The worst thing you could probably do is simply, I don't care what the Lord thinks, so I'll do what I'd like to do in this situation. That would be the worst thing in the world to do. Let me give some examples. Of good stuff, I hope. I hope it turns out to be good stuff. I think I've told this story, but I'm going to tell it again anyway. It was a few years back. I had to go to my sister's birthday party, and I was shopping in Big W for white goods for her, a present for her. And I looked on the shelf, and in front of me there were two items worth approximately the same. I can't even remember what they were, and I looked at one. Casserole dish, I don't know what it was. It was sitting there and I looked at it and I thought, yeah, I really like that, I'll buy that for her. That's a beauty, that one. That's a ripper. And I was sort of set. You know, that is the one. And all of a sudden I felt, because I'd prayed, I'd asked the Lord, what am I supposed to get at? He said, no, not that one. That's not the one. The one next to it. That one. Huh? That's not really what I felt, but, you know, I don't have a peace on this one. I'm not feeling peace at all about this, even though I like it, and I think it'd be great. I think it'd be a wonderful gift. Is to get that one. Okay. Go with that one. Took that one. Got to the party. Guess what was on the table? The other one. Smack dang in the middle of the table. She wanted that one, and she got it, and I wasn't supposed to buy it for her. I was supposed to buy this one for her, which she wanted also. But God said, not that one, that one. Peace. Had found some peace on it. I had no peace on it. He directed me to the next thing. The next best thing, if you like. It's not the next best. It was the very best thing for Karen. It blessed her no end. But we've got to check our hearts, don't we? See what the Lord wants. This comes down to little stuff then, doesn't it? What are you going to walk out of the house wearing today? Now, you can get really fanatic about this. Or just keep your ear open to what the Lord is saying to you. Because the littlest things can make the most hugest of differences. Can they not? Just a little. Just even a simple word here or there of encouragement. If you know you should say, that can make the hugest difference in a person's life. Kent's new car. Kent, I don't want you to answer any of these questions. All right? Because you may get them wrong. Kent's got this smashing new car. And I'm sure if you asked him, don't. And this is what we should do. We should go away and we should pray and say, Lord, do you want me to have a new car? Or not? If you get no peace about it, don't get the new car. If you have a peace about it, get the new car. Buying a new home, buying and selling homes. If you get peace, go ahead and do it. If you don't, sit on it. Wait. Do whatever you have to. Keep asking the Lord about it. It's just a simple principle. But if you go ahead and just do things without acknowledging that the Lord is over all things, including everything you own and have, you have just walked out of peace. You are doing things outside of the will of God. My lifetime partner. I would pray very seriously about that before I went ahead and did that. I didn't, but thank God I got one. I do now. I had to choose some cell stuff this week, and I could not get any peace on it. Kent and I talked about it, and Philip, and I just didn't feel right, just didn't have the peace of God over me. So I rang John, and I thought, I'll just take it out of my own hands and get somebody else to do it. That'll be easy. Now, I just thought a few praying, that'll be helpful, and we'll see what happens. So a few prayed, and they got a peace on it, they felt this, when they said to me, this, I said, yeah. I feel good about that. I feel at peace about that. Boom. We're going that direction. We're going to do that. It doesn't hurt to ask friends if there's big decisions to be made to keep your peace. Okay? It's a good thing. We've got brothers and sisters for a reason in Christ. We can keep our peace together. Okay. Have I got any others here? Did I put any others down? How much do we need put in the offering for Lloyd? I'm smacking this, aren't I? Aren't I smacking this a lot? How much? You need to go away. Even if your husband and wife, you need to say, pray, ask the Lord. How much? Even if you do it apart and come back together, have a peace before you go ahead and just throw 20 bucks in there. Know what you're doing. Because the next day the Lord might say, that should have been 180. And you just missed the big opportunity because you didn't sow properly. Right? Right? Go like this. I'm right, aren't I? It's the word of God. I can't be wrong. Stand up. Stand up. Come on. Everybody stand up. You're looking a bit weary. Turn around and sit back down. Ride round. Sit back down. Ride round, Philip. That's it, Philip. Okay, we'll press on. Okay. Ooh, bad luck. To have the peace of God may mean that you need to make some adjustments in your life, and that's not always easy. That's not always what a really good thing or feels good. You may not be able to do all the things that your friends do. God may stop you from doing some things that you want to do, but He's not going to let you do. But you better not do them, or you're going to walk out of peace. You may not be able to buy things that you want to buy, that your friends have bought, because you're going to walk out of peace if you do it like that. Because He just doesn't want you to get that. You may have to wait. You may have to do certain things that others are not doing. Not everybody is the same. The Lord is dealing with everybody differently. And certain things for you are not for other people. We need to be careful, careful that we just don't go off because somebody else has done this or somebody else has done that. We need to keep our peace with the Lord by asking, inquiring. You know, you can follow the and put up John 8:31-32. Let me see if I got the right verse. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teachings, if you follow what He wants, then you will be set free. Not before. We can go around doing our own thing again and again and again and again and again and get to a point where life is a bit of a mess. All right? Life is just a bit of a mess. And then we're going to decide, okay, had enough of that. I'm going to do the right thing from now on. Do the right thing for a week and expect something to change automatically over 1 week of doing things right. And God just simply doesn't work like that. You have sown to your own flesh for years and years and years, and all of a sudden, because you did the right thing for 1 week, God's going to change. Well, He will. He will bless. But we need to continuously sow. The word that says actually, hold to my teachings. Another scripture says, and I'll get it. It says, if ye, this is King James, if ye continue in my word. You just can't go backwards and forwards. You just can't go into the flesh and do what you like and then back into Jesus. You will not be blessed accordingly. Now, or you will be blessed accordingly. Yeah, quite right. Thank you, love. It's like going around the mountain. It's the old going around the mountain trip. Which is the better place to be? Working out of your own souls, out of disobedience, or having something you wanted, or doing something you wanted, or having peace with God? Which is the better choice? You know, it would be, the answer would be absolutely obvious, but it's not, is it? It's not obvious at all. How am I going? I'm just going to talk about me a bit because I'm really interesting. And if you believe that, you might listen too for a few minutes. That is one way of getting peace, all right? And she doesn't write this in the book, and I've just written it because I think we're onto something. and we're teaching the world something, or John is, about peace that nobody else is. Or, no, that's not true. Other people are, but we're doing it. What is it? We're demonstrating it. And I've written this down. If you cannot submit, and this is about submission, because it's about submission to God, you know, if you keep your submission and your heart right before God, you're going to keep the peace right. If you can't submit to a man or Christ in a man, you're going to struggle to submit to God himself. Now, you can find that in the Bible yourself. I'm not going to look it up. You can find it, but that's a fact. That is the truth. Hebrews says, obey your leaders and submit to the authority. Right? It says that. Submit to the authority and submit to them. And I believe that that is one of the biggest ways to find peace. Why do I think that? Because I reckon in the last little while, I found more peace because I am a man under authority than I have ever found in my whole life. And I think that's just the truth. I read that scripture out, and you can put it up now, guys. 1 Peter 2:13. Have you got all that through to 3:6? Oh, well, let's just start here. This whole scripture in 1 Peter talks about, the heading is, submit to rulers and authorities. Okay? Go submit through rulers and slaves. Submit to masters. Wives, submit to husbands. And then it says, that scripture that we first read out, which was pursue peace. After going all through the submission stuff, it gets down and just says, don't speak evil, da 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 da, and pursue peace. Do you think they're connected? I think so. I think so. Submission to God first, but there is a need, a great need for us to submit to one another and submit to someone like a spiritual father, and you will find peace. I am a man under authority. I am a man in submission. In verse 6, 3, 6, I think it is. 17, keep flip, go on. More. Too slow. Ooh. 6, like Sarah who obeyed Abraham and called him her master, you are her daughter if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. That is the biggest opposition to submission, fear. Coming under authority, the best way of putting submission is giving your heart. There's no doubt about it. And I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because John keeps telling me to say it again. And he's been saying it down at Mornington Peninsula, all about me again. Telling the whole world about me. If I don't like talking about me, he does. But a lot of us think that submission is not a safe place because of past experiences. Particularly past experiences with authority figures like our fathers. Particularly them. I was in a cell a few weeks ago and a few of the young men gave their testimonies regarding their fathers, and they were fairly horrific. Yes? Yes. They were fairly sad. Now, I don't know where these guys have gone from then, but what I do know is that affects you. That affects you for life unless you do something about it. Unless you find forgiveness, find something in your heart. And I think the biggest thing to come out of this is, if you say, no, I'm not going to fear anymore, I'm not going to fear authority figures anymore, I'm going to give my heart and I'm going to submit. Wives, you are in a big place to do this with your husbands. This is a tough place sometimes. And if you don't submit, you become Jezebelic. Is that a word? It is now. What do we do? What do? We become independent type people, really just to protect our emotions, not wanting to be hurt again. But what we do is cut ourselves off from fellowship and love and peace. God has made us want those things, fellowship and love and peace. But there it goes, out the door. There goes peace. As soon as you don't submit your heart properly, wholeheartedly, with everything, you lose part of your peace. And I believe a big part of your peace. To me, that scripture about the centurion in Matthew 8:18 has come to life. That guy, and I'm going to finish right about here. That guy, he knew about authority. He knew about faith, but he also knew it because he knew how to be under authority, and he had found peace. You know why he found peace? You'd find peace too if you had the whole Roman army backing you up in that day, wouldn't you? But you have got the whole army of God backing you up. Isn't that a peaceful place? That's about as peaceful as it gets. Security upon security upon security. It is so secure. That guy knew about security because he knew about authority. He knew how to submit to it. So he knew about how to be insecure, how to be at peace. He knew what that all meant. And that's what we're going for, people. That's what the Lord is directing us to. Being under authority will bring peace back to the church of God and back to our own individual hearts. Do you believe me? It's the Word of God. It's the truth. One more thing. Will I one more thing? No, I won't. I'll finish. There is a few other ways to find peace, but I reckon they're smaller than that. Finding peace with yourself. You need to find peace with yourself. You need to find peace with your brothers and sisters. But I believe all of those things, a lot of that stuff comes out of the submission of the heart. Submission of the heart. And to keep your peace, you all know, also one more thing you need to know is there is an enemy and he is working against you. And you need to be aware that he's out there trying to steal your peace. He's trying to steal it. So don't let him. Stand on the word. Let, what is the scripture? First Colossians, I'll say it again. Where is it? Put it up one more time for me, mate. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Be directed by your heart at peace with Christ. Let him be the umpire. Let your heart be the umpire. You had enough? Done enough. All right, let's pray. Father, today we want to afresh submit our lives to you, Lord. Submit our hearts afresh to you. Ben, do you want to come up? Submit our lives to you, Lord. We just want to give ourselves afresh to you. Lay down our hearts again, Lord. We want peace and we want to walk in the Holy Spirit so that we can have peace day in and day out. Lord, we desire that. But we desire you, Lord. We desire you. And we lay down our lives humbly before you afresh today. Have your way with us, Lord, we pray. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Lord, I pray that each one of us would learn, because we can learn the fear of the Lord, that we would begin to learn that. We would begin to rest in the arms of a loving God who has a lot of good stuff for us if we would follow the way of peace and follow the word of the Lord. Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. Help us not to be neglectful of your truths. I bless you, Lord. I thank you today. Father, I ask your peace over the family here, over the community, Lord. Let your peace rest on them. Let the anointing of God, that peace anointing, come now in Jesus' name and rest on each one of us. That our hearts would be at peace with ourselves, with our God, and with each other. And ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we sing that last song? I stand. Why don't we sing that and have some morning tea together?